The message you're about to hear is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center in Great Falls, Montana. Sit back, relax, and we pray that you hear from God.
All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin a new series this morning. We finished Ephesians. We actually did almost 5 months in Ephesians. I think it's the longest we've ever taken for one book. I did 13 messages on the book of Ephesians. But it was good. How many enjoyed Ephesians? I personally enjoyed preaching that. I grew a lot. I really like that. I think we'll probably do that again sometime. We'll do another book. But Ephesians in particular is such a great book. But we're going to go a little different direction. We're going to begin a foundational series, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So let's read this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," hears these words and puts them into practice, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Both houses had stuff happen to it. How many have stuff in your life? Everybody has stuff. Wind, rain, storm. One stood, one didn't. The difference was they both heard the word. One put the word into practice. Now go to chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13 of Matthew. And I think I'm just going to tell, Jesus tells a parable, and I'll just paraphrase it for you. He tells the story of a farmer. He says a farmer goes out and sows seed. As most of you would know, in those days they would take and sow it by hand. They'd throw the seed out like that. He says some of the seed landed on rock, on a stony path, and nothing happened to it. Birds came and ate it. Some seed fell in the ground, but the ground was really shallow. Maybe it had rock underneath. It grew really quickly, but then because it didn't have a root, it says it withered and it died. Some seed fell where there was weeds, and the weeds, as they grew together, the weeds choked out the good seed. And he says, and some seed fell in really good soil, and it produced a crop. It says 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown came back because it was sown in good soil. The one I really want to talk about today, and we're going to, in the weeks to come, in the future, we're going to talk about some of the others, but particularly this one that fell on soil that seemed good, grew quickly, and yet eventually, because it says it had no root, it withered and it died. How many have ever known people that really got excited about God? Really got touched by the Lord? Maybe in a service, in a revival, or on TV, you know, somewhere they heard the gospel. Just got excited. They bought a Bible. And then you see them 6 months later, and it's almost like there was no difference at all. How many have ever seen that? And so maybe you've been there. Been like that. We're going to address that today. We're going to talk about that. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray together. And we're going to ask God to speak to us this morning. Again, the two places God has to speak to is our heart and our mind. And so I want to pray that my mind, your mind, and my heart and your heart would be open so the Holy Spirit could speak to us so that we could really hear from Him. So go ahead and put your hand on your heart and your mind. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask that my heart and my mind would be open to you. I pray that you would speak to me. I pray that you would teach me. And I pray that you would reveal yourself to me. Help me to understand and receive the truth that you have for me today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray now as we have brought our hearts and our minds to you. God, I pray that even in this message, Lord, you begin to lay foundation in our hearts, Lord, that This would be good seed that would hit good ground and it would grow properly. God, you know the condition of each person here. You know the circumstances of their life. Lord, you know their questions. You know their battles that they fight internally and externally. God, I pray that you'd go beyond all that stuff that we bring as we gather together. Lord, you'd be able to put that aside. And God, you'd get right to the core, but you'd get right to our heart. And God, you'd minister life. God, anoint my words and my thoughts and this time together. And let your purposes be accomplished. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Matthew 7:24 again says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We've been meeting with the pastors and elders, have been meeting we meet regularly. We've been just talking and praying about this. What does God want to do with our church? What direction are we going for the year? And even though we're having this retreat, we already have a sense, I believe, of the direction God wants. We have an abundance of new people coming in all the time. Almost every Sunday, maybe every Sunday, in one or both or all three services, we'll have people raise their hand. At the end of the service, I give an altar call. Last week, I did it before I even preached, and I think four people responded. Then after I was done preaching, another three responded. And so it's a common thing for people to make commitments to the Lord. But our concern, and my concern, is where do they go from there? What happens in their life? Do they get established? Are they good seed that grow and produce what God wants 30, 60, and 100 times? Or do they grow up real quickly and then fade away? And then, of course, the other two examples, some seed never grows at all, and some seed gets choked out by the cares of life. But the one that concerns me is this one that grows quickly, but then doesn't seem to go on. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all kinds of people, all nations. And he says, I want you to make disciples, not just get them to be believers, but I want you to make them disciples, followers, students, people that really are growing from me, that are following me. I want you to make disciples. And so we've been talking about what does that mean and how do we do that? And actually, we're going to even explore that more when we go up on our retreat this week. We're going to talk about how can we be more effective as a church. How can you be more effective in making disciples? How can you be a better disciple? How many would say, I got a little bit to grow, least, okay? And I think that's true of all. My hands are up, too, on that. But how do we do that? And so we're going to be exploring that and talking about that in the coming weeks and actually throughout the rest of the year, really, is kind of my vision for this. But one of the things we've been talking about in particular is how can we lay the foundation principles that when you get those in your life, it's like then you can tie everything else to it. And if you understand anything about building, when you build a house, you put the foundation down and then you build the house on top of it. And houses can look different. Foundations actually look pretty similar other than the layout. They're basically gray blocks of concrete of some kind. But if they're not solid, if they're not sure, it's really hard to grow properly. And I use these two passages. Jesus said, if you hear my words and then you practice or do my words, he says, then you're like someone who built his house, and his house is your life, on rock. And so when the stuff of life, and we all have that, comes, he says, you stand. You keep on going. But if you hear my words, but you don't put them into practice, then when the rains and wind, the storm, the stuff of life comes, you fall away. And all of us have experiences of people who did well. There's even a scripture, I think it's in Galatians, you ran well. Now what's hindering you? Why'd you quit running well? And so we're gonna talk, and specifically the next 4 weeks. This is this week is introduction to the next 4 weeks. We're going to do four messages on foundational things that need to be in your life for you to build the right kind of life that God wants. One of them is water baptism. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I was just so excited to see you guys get water baptized. You're laying a foundation in your life. And we'll talk a little bit today, and then in a few weeks we'll talk in more detail really what that means. And that's amazing how important that is in your life. But there are other things that are important too. And what we're actually going to do is we're going to, when people, at the end of the service, we have people respond to the word. How many, you know, all the time we have people raise their hand, respond, and normally we have somebody go pray with them, but what we've noticed is we don't really do anything beyond that, or other than maybe give them a phone call or say how you doing. So this is kind of what we're going to do. We actually have a plan, and I'm going to have Steve. You want to get saved today?
Yeah.
Okay. So Steve's going to get saved. Aaron McAdam is going to be my helper. Now this I want to show you what we're going to do. We're going to. That's one of the reasons we're starting to video the services so we can use this. So I at the end of the service, you guys know the drill. I will give an altar call. Anybody want to give their life to Jesus or come back to Jesus? So raise your hand, Steve. Praise God. Everybody clap. Steve wants to get saved. Okay. So I'm going to, we'll pray together. And then I'll say, Steve, can you come on down? I wouldn't know who you were. So I say, hey, buddy. And I'll say, if you prayed, would you come on down? And Pastor Lee's going to be down here with a team. Lee, where's Lee? Why don't you come down and stand with your team, Lee? Come on down here. Over here. Don't stand in front of everybody. He's a big guy, isn't he? All right. No. He stay right there. I have this plan, man.
Okay.
Don't interrupt my plan. I want to show you how this works. So he comes down and he's made his commitment. We cheer, we're excited, whatever. And then I'm going to say something like this. I'm going to say, now I need somebody to stand with him, to help him in his new walk. So Aaron McAdam, he's gonna volunteer. All right. Who wants to stand with Steve? Now, I won't say Steve's name, but who wants to come stand? Now, if you bring a friend, listen, if you bring a friend, I want you to come with your friend. What would I say? We'll help you, all right? We're actually going to go through it. We're gonna do this for everybody in the church the next 4 weeks, and then we're going to have a way to do it with them specifically after they make a commitment after that. If you guys are tracking what I'm saying, so Aaron, come down and stand with him. And I say, now, you know, Lee would say, have them over there, and I'd be, you know, we'd be giving announcements, whatever. Lee would say something like, you know, well, this, you know, now you have this is your buddy for the next 4 weeks. He's going to help you with your new walk with God, and we're going to take you another room. And then walk over there. We're going to have this little room set up. We're going to have some donuts in there. Donuts? Hey, you like donuts, Steve? See, getting saved is a good deal, right? Donuts, coffee. And they'll go in there, and then they will set up a schedule. We'll have a class that's going to be going to be every week, either video or with somebody live teaching it. And then it's also, because it's videoed, we can do it. If, you know, we have all kinds of schedules. How many here work a crazy schedule? See, I mean, it's just, that's life. And so maybe say, you know, I can't. We'll find out in that room. You'll say, hey, man, I work almost every Sunday. I can't go to the class. But I'll tell you what, Aaron will say, he's ready because he's going to be trained. We're going to ask some of you to volunteer for this. You're going to be trained. Aaron will say, well, when can you meet? He said, well, I can meet Saturdays at 10. I can do that for 4 weeks. Can you give up four Saturdays in a row at 10?
Yes.
Nicole, can you do that? Nicole says no. Nicole's mom says no. Wow. This is a hard family. Everybody extend your hands towards this hard... All right. So, whatever. They'll figure it out. How many can figure it out?
Come on.
This is not rocket science. You guys say, and you guys set it up, and for 4 weeks, you're going to go through what we're going to teach beginning next week, okay? And I'm going to introduce today. And the idea is not just that you get you learn this stuff, but that you have a friend to help you in your new walk with God. The Bible says two are better than one. Woe to him that's alone when he falls. How many know, when you first got saved, you messed up really soon? I tell you a cute story. I had a guy years ago, a rough guy, been in prison, and probably deservedly so. He came down and powerfully got saved. Man, he came right down front. He's crying. We led him to the Lord. And the next week, I gave an altar call. He came down again. And I said, Robert, you got saved last week. He says, felt so good, I wanted to do it again. So we're gonna help. Or even people coming back to the Lord. You know, I really don't care. I just want people, I want to help them on the journey. Can you say amen? And so we're going to do that. And I'm going to ask some of you, really begin praying now and say, God, do you want me to be one of these people that are engaged? I mean, Dwight Smith's a given. He's going to be a part of that. And some of you others are going to be doing that. You can say, I want to be a friend. I'll be available. But if you bring somebody, it's really good if you go with them. And we'll help you. We're not going to make this tough. We're going to make it. But you, just to answer questions, or if you don't know the answer, to get them to somebody that can give them the answer. Just to help them get the basics of the foundation of their faith. Can you say amen to that? All right. So Steve's saved. Aaron's committed to helping him. Welcome to the family of God. Everybody clap for Aaron. You'll also be a part of that. Cassie will be a part. You know, I'd really like a woman to be with a woman and a man to be with a man. Just more appropriate. It's safer and all that. So Aaron and Cassie, you guys committed? Yeah? All right. So there you go. Here's a couple here. There's six right here that are going to do it. I know all six of you are going to do it. All right? Okay. You guys can go. You're saved, man. Go sit down. All right. Do you get the idea? All right. That's where we're going with what I'm going to talk about today. That's what we want to do. We want to help people. And by the way, if this doesn't work, we'll figure something else out. I think it's going to work. And we may have to fine-tune it and do it different. We're not, you know, and the idea is we want to help people to grow in the Lord. Now here's the thing. Foundation, when you... Go ahead and put this next scripture up, okay? Put up next here. Whatever's next. Put it up. All right? Two reasons we're doing this in this series. Number one, you need to make your foundation sure. And sometimes you can be a Christian for a long time and you've never done some of the basic stuff because nobody ever told you needed to do it. Or you didn't understand it. Or it seemed like, well, that's one option. But you understand the Bible's not optional. It doesn't give, here's plan A, here's plan B, and here's plan C. Plan A, you tithe, you go to church, you do all the stuff you're supposed to do, and boy, things will go well. Plan B, you still get to go to heaven, but you're going to have a lot of trouble with sin, and you're going to struggle with sin, but you don't have to serve, and you only have to tithe half. And tithe plan C, you don't have to go to church, you don't have to tithe, you can run around, and you may get to heaven. Doesn't work like that. There is a plan in God. Amen? One plan, one way. And so we're going to talk about some of that and help you with it, help you to understand. So go ahead and put the scripture up here. In 2 Peter 1:10, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election, your salvation experience, sure or firm. If you do these things, and he gives some other things that we're going to talk about under foundation of even character things that need to be in our life. If you do these things, you'll never fall. You build your house in a rock. You hear and you do. Build your house in a rock. When the rain, the wind, the storm comes, you'll stay solid. I can promise you, you're going to have wind, rain, and storm in your life. And if you haven't, you know, just you must be in the eye of the storm. Okay? And that means that the rest of it's coming. Hello? That's a part of life. But God, your life doesn't suddenly get everything works because you're a Christian. It rains, the Bible says, on the just and the unjust. But you're different, and God can help you in your new walk with God. But you have to lay the proper foundation. And so as we go through this series in the next 4 weeks, I really encourage you to examine your own heart. And say, God, are there things that I need to change or fix or get more solid in my life? And probably all of us, to some measure, have some dressing up to do. Amen? Does that make sense? So from a personal perspective, by the way, I also encourage you, if you have new friends that are newly saved or not saved, this would be a great time to bring them. Next week, we're going to talk about salvation. It would be a great time to bring a friend to church and let them hear what salvation really is. That will be the first message next week. So if you get that. So first of all, for you, make your foundation sure. Secondly, the Bible tells us to give like you receive. Go ahead and put the scripture up. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord." Always be prepared. Everybody say it, be prepared. Be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, you know, it should be a good, godly, kind attitude, but you should be ready to share with people. You need to be able to share what God has done in your life. And many of us are really fearful of that because we're not sure. We don't know what the Bible really says. We're not really, and so we're nervous about it. We're going to help you with that. When I was in college, when I was a young person going to college, I took an upper division economics course called Money and Banking. And for some reason, it kind of gelled. You know, I just liked it. And, you know, every now and then you luck out and you get a class you actually like. And I liked it, and it sort of made sense to me. So the professor talked to me, and he said, "Would you help some other students?" He said, "You seem to be getting this. You're doing well in the class. Would you ever tutor?" I said, "I get to be a tutor?" Whoa, yeah, sure, I'll be a tutor. I wasn't really sure what that meant, but he said, "Will you be a tutor of, we got about four or five students kind of struggling in this." And so I had a little apartment, and once or twice a week, these students would come over to my apartment, and I would tutor them in money and banking. And this, it was an advanced economics class. It was kind of a difficult course. Now, when we were done, I had it wired. I don't think I've ever had a class that well figured out as I did money and banking. And the reason is because I was helping other people get it. Does that make sense? When you explain something, something happens to you. But God says you've received freely. Matthew 10, verse 7, I think it says, "Freely you've received, freely give." And so really part of your growing process and part of your becoming a better disciple is that you not only receive, but you give. Connected, growing, and giving. That you begin to give what God's given to you. And so we're going to help you in this deal to be prepared so you can give out what you've given. And I really encourage you to bring friends and come stand with them when they make commitments to the Lord. And then help them in the process. And you know what? You probably don't know everything. So admit that. Say, "I don't know the answer to that. Who's the Antichrist? I don't have a clue." So go ask Kern. He thinks he knows. Anyway, no, he knows. Kern knows. Or no, he doesn't. But you understand, we'll help you with that. I'm in deep trouble here. Kurt, I'm sorry. He didn't hear what I said. Good, he was talking back. I'm glad. All right. Do you understand where you begin to give out and so that we really help people to get grounded? That's how you grow up when you begin to share. There's a great scripture in the book of Philemon or Philemon, depending on where you're from. That's a joke, anyway. Philemon from the islands. Anyway, he said this in verse 6. It's just a one-chapter book. He says, "I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith," he says, "so that you can have a good knowledge of all the good things God's done in your life." And when you share about it, when you help somebody, get discipled, you're going to grow. Now, if you come up, you're going to be committing to 4 weeks of going through these classes. What if you did that with four people during the year? You'd go through the classes four times. Do you think you'd start to get it? And, you know, and then it'd start flowing out of you, and you could help. And so we're going to engage this. So do you get it? So you do it for your own life. You want to lay a foundation, and you do it also now so that you can give out what God's given. Can you say amen so far? Okay. Now I want to talk about, I want to show you these four things, these four principles that are just necessary for your walk with God. Number one, foundation. The Bible says you must be born again. Go ahead and put the scripture up. John 3:3. Jesus, Nicodemus comes to him. You ask questions about how are you doing all these miracles? What's going on? I don't understand this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see. Now that word see is not a visual thing. It's no one can perceive or understand the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He says, your natural brain can't grasp it, but if you have a new heart, new brain, a new way of seeing, you'll begin to understand what this is about. You must be born again. We're going to talk about, what does that mean? What is that term, born again? You know, you've probably heard that for years, but I know a lot of Christians that hear it, but really don't understand what it is. So next week, the message, Pastor Kern is actually going to do a great message on understanding what happens when someone comes to faith in Christ. What does God do? Let's put another scripture up here. John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life. There's something you get. You get eternal life, and he will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. Do you realize that? When you get saved, you just don't get nicer. In fact, some of you didn't get all that nice. Right? Not nobody here, but it's in the other churches. People in other... The ones on the news, how's that? No, listen, but what you do, you actually, there's a difference. You are under condemnation, now you're under liberation, all right? You pass from death to life. You were dead in your transgressions and sin. Ephesians 2, verse 10, 1 says this, you're dead in your transgressions. Now Christ has made you alive. What is that? That's amazing. You're a new person. Anyone who's in Christ, he's a new creation. So you cross from death to life. Go ahead and put the next scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures. I wrote it on the wall over there. I didn't write it. Beanie did, but I told her to. All right. We are God's masterpiece. He created us what? New. See, to be a Christian is not to get your life together, to start, you know, acting a little bit better, coming to church, you know, quit cussing, at least not cuss so much, or certain words you don't say, you know, you draw a line. I don't ever go across that line. No, that's not at all. You're different. You're new. Brand new. Squeaky clean new. That's pretty cool, huh? Yeah? All right. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We don't do the good things to become new. We are new, so we do the good things. And so we're gonna really talk about that next week. I'm really excited for Pastor Kern's message on this. All right, next, please. Number two. Now, if you notice, you must be born again. There are no options on that one. There's actually no options on any of these, but being born again is what gets you to heaven. All right? But then you need to be water baptized. I have never... I want to say this. Some of you may fight me or not like it, but I have never seen a Christian have a consistent walk with God who was not water baptized. Ever. And because there's a work that God does in water baptism that's essential for your continuing in faith. All right? And we'll talk about that. In fact, I may even preach that message. I really am passionate about this. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. That we can live a new life. Not just be new, but live a new life. Go ahead and put it in the Message Bible. It says, when we were lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. In how many... If you didn't read the Bible, how many saw Prince of Egypt? Know the story of the Red Sea, huh? How many know the story of the Red Sea? Okay, oh, good. All right. The Red Sea. Israel, this captive nation, is set free. By the way, that's a type of salvation. That's their Passover. They get out of their Passover, then they go and Egypt, which represents the old way, their life before, goes right after them. You get saved. Now, just think about this. You get saved, and your old life starts following you. Hello? Okay. And so God doesn't take them the easy route. He takes them the route that takes them to the banks of the Red Sea. And he says, all right, now, Moses, take your stick, part the waters. They go to the other side, And the people are just, they're not really sure how this is working out. They're really excited they came through, going through the water. Moses stands, and actually this is before they go through. He said, and they're afraid because the Egyptian army is coming after them, representing their old life. He said, these Egyptians who you see today, you'll no more see them forever. He said, I'm going to take your past, and I'm not just going to fix it. I'm going to wipe it out. And so he takes them through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army goes, let's go get them. And the wheels start falling off. If you watch it, you'd go, man, this is amazing. And then I've always wondered what it was like going through the Red Sea. Like, would fish swim up or would their heads stick out and go, you know? And does anybody else think like this? Maybe you guys are maybe a little more religious than I am. I think, you know, a big old whale come and go, whoa, dude. but anyway, and they get this, and then he takes one, and the water comes. And Pharaoh's army is destroyed. And they never have to fight a rear battle against Egypt. They fight forward battles, but not a rear battle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, they were baptized into Moses in the Red Sea. We're baptized into Jesus now. See, there's a powerful separation from the old. There's a death, burial, resurrection that takes place in water baptism. It's more than just this ritual they go through. That was way cool. Man, I'm so excited about you guys. That's just, man, water baptism. So we're going to talk about that. What does that do? And you need that in your life. In fact, I had somebody after the first service come to me and says, I got baptized when I was a kid, but you know what? I want to get baptized again. That actually happened to me. I got baptized when I was 6, and I said, where in the Bible did anybody ever get baptized again? And I was showing, my wife was getting baptized, and I was showing somebody going through the scriptures, and in Acts 19, there's a group of people that got baptized again. I said, can I get baptized too? Right in the middle of the service. And they said, sure. And they went out and got me this pair of pants. The guy was about twice my, I was smaller then, twice my size. And I remember they had a rope to actually tie the pants up, white t-shirt. And I got baptized. Kern was there. Kern got baptized too. All three of us got baptized that day again. Cindy had been sprinkled and we had been baptized, but we wanted to do it again for what it does in your life. And we'll talk about that more later. So baptism, you must be baptized. You need to be baptized. Number three, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, you ready for this? Baptized in water is a work that we do. We baptize. You saw people, Nate and Eric and I think Kern were baptizing people. They were dunking them in the water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a work that the Holy Spirit does. When you get saved, now listen to this, because we have people in this room right now from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of ideas. But what's our standard of truth? What is it? All right, let me see it. This is a workmanlike Bible. See, look at that. I mean, that weighs about 12 pounds. All right, see, it's got all kinds of writing in it. This is the Word of God. That's where we go to find the truth, right? Okay, we're going to study the truth together, and we're going to talk about, you ready? Everybody get ready, because say, Martha, I'm a little nervous right now. Turn to your wife, say that, Martha, or your friend. Martha, I'm a little nervous. We're going to talk about tongues. What does the Bible say about that? It says really good things about that. When you get saved, John 20, Jesus breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they were born again, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. You realize that? When you are born again, the Holy Spirit resides in you. But then in Acts 1, verse 8, go ahead and put the scripture up. Whatever's next, put it up there. I think it's 1:8. There you go. When you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
By the way, that word power is dunamis, which is a Greek word for miracle, powerful, supernatural, working type power. It's a root word that is also used for dynamite. So that's pretty cool, I think. There are two words used in the Bible for power. One is dunamis and one is exousia. And they're both translated power in different places. Exousia is authority. And dunamis is the make it happen power. Here's a good way to look at it. If you go up to a highway patrolman, his badge is his exousia, his authority. His 357 is his dunamis, all right? You get that? So God says, he says, you're going to get a 357 when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we're going to explain this. Pastor Nate's going to do a message on that. I'm really excited about that. I think he's going to rock in that one and really help us with it. When the Holy Spirit comes on, and then you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. These were people that were afraid. These were people that were hiding, and then they got the power of God. Acts 1, I don't want to preach this message, but Jesus, these people watched Jesus be crucified. They 500 people saw him after the resurrection. So 500 people saw him after he came back to life. And they go, that's amazing. John 20, it doesn't say how many, but he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so they're born again now. They're made new. We talked about that salvation. And so in Acts 1:8 now, the Bible's just some of the stories of the Bible. If you really think what's going on, they're actually kind of funny. You just the thing is, they didn't have a clue what was going to happen next. They had read chapter 2. Do you understand that? Well, I mean, that makes a big difference because we think, this is, of course, they didn't know that. And so Jesus is teaching them. He's resurrected. That's already pretty. How many think that's pretty much a mind blower? You know, the guy resurrected. He's alive. All right. And so he's teaching them. And then he says this, like the last thing he says to him, he says, you're going to get power. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the gift my Father's going to give to you. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you now, anointing to do something. The anointing oil was given to a priest so they could do action, so they could do the work of a priest. He says, and then you'll be my witness. Not you're going to witness, you're going to be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the other. And when he gets done saying that, this is what happened. It says, he started rising. I heard a preacher one time, he said, they all got sunburst mouths. And what do you think about it for a minute? If the roof cracked open, and I started rising, would you say that's fairly unusual service? And you guys wouldn't you all be going? And maybe for a long time. I mean, I would. I'd be just like, wow. And then these two angels come and say, it's okay, guys. He's coming back, same way he left. And all they got to go on now is go to Jerusalem and wait. That's what it says. Go wait, and you're going to get this power. Okay, what does that mean? They don't know at all. And so they all go sit in this room. It's an upper room. You know, it'd be like an upper part of a house. It's bigger. There are 120 people there. They're waiting. They're praying. They really don't know what they're expecting. You got it? I don't think so. I don't know. What is it? I don't know. And it says, then fire came down and landed on the heads. Now, when I was a kid, I remember you see the pictures of the guys standing there at Pentecost, and they'd have a little flame coming out of their head. How many have ever seen pictures about that? And I always thought, they always looked really religious, you know. Listen, I don't think their faces look like that at all. They're probably like, whoa. I mean, I don't know. But there's five times in the book of Acts where it talks about people getting baptized or filled or anointed with the Holy Spirit, and only one time is there flames involved, but every time, either written or implied, is tongues. They spoke in a new language. And so we're going to explain that. We're going to help you with it. And by the way, as we go through this, if you go, man, I was not taught that at all, that's okay. We'll answer your questions. We'll help you process it. We're not going to come around and force anything. We just want you to understand what the Bible teaches, and then we'll dialogue and talk about it and help you with it. But the Bible says you need this. Jesus said, don't do anything until you get this, because it gives you power. 357, okay, to do the work of God. I think there's another scripture here. Acts 2:4, there's a picture. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. We'll talk about that, and I'm excited for that message. All right, and number four, and this is a huge one. It says you need to be connected to the body or the church. doesn't mean you need to go to church. You need to be connected to church. There are in this room, there are people really connected. And there are people who just attend. In fact, one of the things you can write on there, I'm an occasional attender. And that's okay, but if you stay there, you will be susceptible to falling away. Because Jesus said you have to hear my words and put them into practice. And so what happens is people don't get connected to the church. Now, it doesn't have to be this church. You understand that? It needs to be a good church. Church preaches the gospel, believes the gospel, believes the Bible. But there are lots of really good churches in the city. But God has a place for you, and this is so crucial. And one of the reasons we want people to come stand with them is to help these new people, or the people that have either struggled with their walk with God or have never had a walk with God, to get them connected. And we're connected with one person to start with, but then to get them connected to church so that they can grow and be a part of what God wants. If you disconnect my finger from my hand, what would happen to it? It would die, right? If you even restrict it, if you put like a real tight rubber band around it and just restricted the life flow to it from the rest of the body, what would happen? It would die. It could even be still, you know, attached but not connected, really connected properly. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and we'll finish up with this. Ephesians 1:23. The church is Christ's body, in which He speaks and acts, and by which He fills everything with His presence. The church is His body. Do you understand that when the Bible was written by God, did you know that? It says all scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. It's written by, came from God. And so God picked the illustrations that are given in the Bible. They aren't by, the guy's not writing and say, I think this sort of explains it, you know? No, I believe God told him what illustrations to use. And one of the main ones that's used for the church is this thing of a body. And because of each part connected to each part. And so he says, in Christ's body, this is His church. This is where He speaks and acts. You think of it naturally. If any person, if I want to do anything, I have to use my body. I'm speaking through my lips. My brain is engaged. Hopefully my brain's engaged. My brain is engaged. My hands are engaged. My feet, I'm walking around. My heart's pumping blood. You know, my nervous system is working. All those things are necessary for me even to speak. If I want to pick up this chair, I have to, it's not just my hand. It's all the muscles attached to it and the blood flowing through it and the nerve response. All that stuff. It's the whole body. All right, go on here. Ephesians 3:10. His intent, God's intent, was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We did this when we did the book of Ephesians. But the way God does His work on the earth is through the church. So if you want to be a part of that, you've got to be connected to the church. Can you say amen? All right? If this doesn't fit for you, I know the other pastors and other churches say, I'll help you find one that does. I happen to think, great, I think this is a rocking church. I love this church. So, yeah. Let's hear it for the church. but we're not the only church. That's why we pray for other churches in the city. But you better be a part of a church and connected to the church. Look at this next one in Psalm 68:6. This is one of my favorite scriptures. God places, everybody say places, the lonely, those that are alone, into families. Goes on to say the rebellious dwell in a desert, parched, dry, dusty land. He brings out those that are that are in captivity and sets them free, and puts them in families. If you get rebellious, I had years of my life I was rebellious, and I wandered around, and I didn't grow. I wasn't discipled, and I was up and down, and my walk with God was not much at all. Being placed in the church. The biggest way we do that is through our connection groups, by the way. Those are really important. Well, you've got to be connected to other believers, not just coming to church, but connected to other believers. One more scripture here, 1 Corinthians 12:18. God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. You know what? If this is your church, it's because God put you here. You may think it's because your wife drug you here. You may think it's because your friend came or you just happened to see it. I believe God put you here. Steve, it's clear that God put you here. Steve came here. Hadn't been in the city a month yet, have you? Yeah. And God put him here. God loved him and knew Steve is a believer, has obviously some background in the Lord, maybe a long background. Pretty long background. Went to Christian college. Hey, hello. But anyway, God says, he's coming to Great Falls. Sorry for poking you in the mouth. He's coming to Great Falls. I'm going to place him here because he's going to grow here. He's going to mature. He's going to be used here. Now, God takes Lonnie. Whole different route. Lonnie went to College of Hard Knocks. All right? God placed him here. What a gift. What a gift he is to this church. I mean, for years. Lonnie's been here for years. Much of what you are... he helped build all this stuff. In the Gen Center. And I mean, God used him. But you know what? God also used the church to build him. He placed him here. God did that. And so we're gonna get into that more and help people to get placed, to get established. So you must. Do I have another scripture? I think that's it. It is. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna lay a foundation principle. These four principles. Our goal is to lay it in everybody's life. We're gonna do it as you're all gonna get grandfathered in. We're gonna take you all through it, and then we're gonna have it available. So people can go, anybody new can go through it. People that are newly to the faith, we're going to help them go through it. And for some of you, some of this stuff will be new, even if you've been here for a long time. You just never heard it or got it taught. We're going to help you with that, help you. We want to make your foundation sure. And then we want to make other people's, new people. We want to disciple them. I'm excited about that. You know what? If we're good at taking care of people, God will give us more people. That's just the way it works. And in fact, we've made some changes, took care of people better. God started adding more people. We're going to make some more changes. God's going to add more. And because, you know what? People, we want to serve this community. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to see that they understand their salvation and they get that really solid in their life. See that they understand water baptism. They get water baptized and that amazing separation from the old and taking on the name of that public declaration. We're going to talk about it. We're going to help people get baptized, get the 357 of God, the power of God in their life. Amen? And then we're going to help people get connected to the church and we'll fulfill Matthew 28. We're going to make disciples. Can you say amen? Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for these wonderful people. God, I thank you for your vision for the future and what you're going to do in this place. God, we really need your wisdom and direction. God, I pray for all of us that our hearts would really be tender and open. And as we go through foundational things, things that maybe some of the people have heard many times before, God, we'd hear them with new ears and with a new heart, and we could receive from you in a new way. God, I pray that you'd establish things in us, and then God, help us to establish these things in other people. God, bless your people. God, help us to be servants to those you would bring to us. God, to truly serve them and help them to build their life on the rock of hearing and doing your word. Thank you, Jesus. And while your heads are bowed, let me ask if there's anybody here this morning who does not have a relationship with Christ. You've never been born again. You may have been religious. You may have come to church all your life, or maybe this is the first time you've ever been in a church. It really doesn't matter. If it's not enough to go to church, you must be born again. You must be saved. If that's never happened to you, or if you are backslidden. Backslidden is simply this. If you're backslidden, you probably know it. You made a commitment to the Lord. You sprouted well, but the ground was shallow, and for whatever reason, you quit on God. Now, you may think it's the church's fault or your friend's fault or the pastor's fault, but ultimately, if you're honest, you realize you quit on God. You backed away from God, and you want to come back. That happened in my life. I spent years running away from the Lord, and I came back to the Lord. And you know what? The Bible teaches that He runs to us. Luke 15, the story of the Father. He ran to his son when he came home. So if you need to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, as we close, I want to take a moment and pray for you and help you on that journey. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and look at me. Make sure I see you, and we'll pray. All right? Anybody else? Okay? Amen. It's cool. Anybody else? Okay? A couple over there. A couple over here. Wow. Three over there. All right? Anybody else? Oh, there you go. That's great. Anybody else? All right. Now, I think we're going to pray. Let's pray together, and then I'm going to tell you what to do. Father, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask that you forgive me for the way that I've been living. I choose to come to you. I ask you to save me, to forgive me. I believe that your blood pays the price for my sins. I believe that your death gives me life beyond death. And I receive that. I commit my heart, my life, my will, and my way to you. Thank you, Jesus.
The message you just heard is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center. Additional sermon resources are available by calling us at 406-727-4849. Or by visiting us on the web at gfcconline.com. Thanks again for listening.